oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive, turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is the voice I found. For those who lost their voice, I sing it loud.
I keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place. It's a call to every soul who wants to be free. A song for
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Eden Cher.
And I'm Brock Ciarlelli.
We played best friends on The Middle.
And became best friends in real life.
We're here to rewatch The Middle with all of you.
Each week, we'll recap an episode with behind-the-scenes stories, guest interviews, and what we think now, many years later.
There's a lot to dive into, so let's get to middling.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose, and I'm so glad you're here today with our series, Real Talk with Life Coaches. And today, I am blessed to have none other, and I'm going to say her name right, Nikita Thacker, right?
Yeah, perfect.
Say yay!
Thank you so much for having me.
And she is a multifaceted teacher, a mentor, and a coach. She combines her practicality with spirituality, which I love. Nikita is intuitively encouraging. She has great insights and sees introspection. I love it. Guiding men and women all over the world, their own journey of self-discovery and increased awareness. Yeah. About their soul's purpose. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Namaste.
I am so tell us something about you. Just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Do you know, since a young age, I've just been such a curious person. I remember when I was 10 years old and I asked my mum, like, what's the meaning of life? Why are we all here? And she was like, I'll just go to school.
Sounds like my mom.
Yeah. So I've always been so curious, you know, yeah. And always questioning things around me and had a philosophical nature. And I just have grown up writing poetry and being on a quest towards finding myself and finding my purpose. And now I'm so blessed to be able to help other people to find theirs.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I'm a writer, so, you know, I want to get really started in this. I know we had a pre-show talk, which I should start recording our pre-show talks because they're really interesting. But we talked about, you know, just being in other countries and everything. We talked about that. But I want to talk about your poetry because I know that's worldwide. You know? And the other thing we're going to delve into, audience, is Dharma.
Yeah.
A few of you have asked me about that because we always talked about karma. Everybody talks about karma, but no Dharma. So I don't know where to start. So you start us off where you want to.
Okay. So first of all, just want to share my book, Meditation Through Poetry. Yes. So this is available internationally. You can order it on Amazon, wherever you are in the world.
Absolutely.
So I mentioned I grew up writing poems. All my friends were on the playground, you know, playing, doing the normal childhood things. But I was in the school library writing poems about life and peace and death and war and subjects that are so deep in nature. And so it was actually during the pandemic I decided to compile all my poems and then blessed to be able to have published them and sharing them with the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. So you started it, and I know that I used to write too as well. I used to love to write. Love to write. What inspired you? Like, I know you had to see something. So like me, I would start writing about an orange. You know, I don't care. I saw something, I started writing. What inspired you just to start just like scribbling away?
I think it's just because I had such a curious mind. There was thoughts racing around and they were, like I say, philosophical in nature. And I think for me, writing was an outlet. And I really encourage people, if you've never picked up a pen and paper before, this is the time to do it, because journaling is such a therapeutic practice. And I use it with my own clients, and I've seen people have breakthroughs when they start to incorporate meditation with journaling, and the two can just be perfectly paired.
Absolutely. I believe journaling, like you said, is so very powerful. I could tell you that I've written several books from journaling. It just came from journaling, you know, and before I knew it, it was a book, and then kind of put it all together. Yeah. But journaling is so powerful when it comes to getting your feelings out, because sometimes you're in a situation you can't talk, you know.
Yeah.
And you don't know how to verbalize, but everyone knows how to write. And, you know, when they're taught how to write, everybody knows how to, even if it comes out, you know, the wrong way, you write it out.
Yeah,
you know,
I think that's what I love about journaling, that there's no right or wrong. And when people first get started, they're like, I don't know what to write. And actually, I say, just allow yourself to get into the zone. That's why I say meditation goes hand in hand with it.
Because
if you get yourself into that zone, then you're much more able to allow the words to just flow.
Yeah,
whereas if we're in that logical, rational part of the brain, then we're not going to be able to really express ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely so. So now that you've written this, do you teach, you know, journaling as part of the meditative process?
Definitely. Journaling, meditation, and chakra balancing. These are the tools that I use to really allow people to connect with their body and their mind. You know, we live in such a fast-paced world now. What I'm hearing more and more is people are saying they've got that disconnect. They're not feeling aligned. Mm-hmm. They're not feeling congruent anymore. And I really want to help people to be able to tap into themselves again and to get into that space where they can just be their true selves.
Right. And when their chakras are unbalanced, what does that bring about? What are one of the signs that you can kind of feel or see?
I believe that all physical and mental health symptoms are a result of chakra blockages. Now, the chakra system is thousands of years old. Okay.
I believe that too. I really do.
Chakras are blocked, it's going to manifest into physical symptoms, mental health symptoms. And then we go to the doctors and we try and get medicine, but we're not going to the root cause. And I only know this because I myself was diagnosed with a chronic illness. And I found that medication did help, but actually it was really holistic therapy that supported me. And now it's a combination of both. I take conventional medication and I use holistic therapy, and I can't advocate them both together, you know.
Yeah, that's good for all of us. Those that are in, probably, let's say, LinkedIn area, there's a workplace, you know, and I know workplace can be so very difficult to kind of deal with. And then you come home. Is there a way that you can utilize what you do to debrief when you get home? Because I know I was always like, oh, I got to take a break. I got to take a break. You know, I would tell that to my children. Give me 30 minutes. How can we do that?
Do you know, yes, of course, there's breath work, there's meditation, there's loads of modalities, but it's about prevention. It's about not getting to that state in the first place where we feel stressed and overwhelmed and as though we can't cope. Yeah. And we can only do that when we are living our purpose. When we're doing something, a job that's out of alignment with our core nature, that's when we experience stress and overwhelm.
Right.
If we're doing a job that we love, that lights us.
Okay, I was going to ask. Gotcha.
It doesn't matter how much you work.
Right.
Because you just don't get tired. I don't know. You probably are the same. Like, you just can work endlessly because it doesn't feel like work because you're in your dharma.
Right. Oh, that's good. Yeah, that I was, you know, I was going to ask you that. So when you're telling me I have to debrief, when I'm having to debrief from a job, that means I'm not in my purpose.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Right. Okay. And, you know, we can carry on. We can keep on pushing ourselves. We can tell ourselves a narrative that, oh, I can't leave my job because I can't pay my bills. Da, da, da.
Right.
But the truth is you're supposed to be doing something you love, that lights you up, and it's supposed to be paying you.
Right. That's exactly. So what do you say to those that, you know, I've heard this so many times, you know, and I work with a number of clients. So they say to me, I'm doing this out of the goodness of my heart. You know, I love what I do. Money doesn't mean anything. Where does that come from? Because I always say, is this a business? Yes. But I do what I do because I said, no, you don't. If it's a business, you're doing it because what you're doing can be profitable. So I don't understand, where does that come from that people are saying that?
Yeah, it comes from a place of not recognizing that you can be paid for doing what you love. Like, I just wish that I had a speakerphone and I could just tell the world.
For those in the back. Like, please.
Exactly. Like, you can be paid to show up. Yes. Like, right now, neither of us feel like we're working, I assume. Right. I don't feel like I'm working right now. This is just me. I'm being me. The way I'm being now with you is the way I am at home with my family or with my friends or with my, you know, whoever. Whereas I think in our society, we're wearing so many different hats and we're taking them off and we're putting them off and masks. And Dharma is about taking off all the hats, just chuck them all away.
Yeah, I think you're so right, because a lot of times when I first started this podcast, or I started talking to everybody, I have dyslexia. So it kind of prevents me in my mind. I know what it's supposed to sound like. I know what it looks like, but it comes out differently, you know, and I always worried about that. And then, of course, I'm a little hyper. As you can tell, I'm a little hyper. And those two things together kind of, you know, get people, you're supposed to do it perfectly. And it was not until, I think, in 2020 that I said, you know what? I don't care anymore. This is who I am. I'm going to get mixed up whether I rehearse it or not.
Yeah.
I'm going to get mixed up. And then there's other issues that come up because you're dyslexic.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of uncertainty too, but it's me. It's who I am.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to take time out to make things perfect, and I'm just going to be me. And when I started doing that, opportunities started happening, and the podcast kind of flourished. I was being me,
You're a living example of somebody who chose to take off all their hats, all their masks, and say, do you know what? I'm going to, and it's brave. That's brave to do that.
Yeah.
That takes courage, and I honor you for doing that. You know,
yeah, it does. It takes a lot of it. It takes a lot of it. Days that you don't want to be courageous, you have to be.
But I can see, I assume it's so liberating for you, and it's so liberating for us as your audience, because you welcome mm-hmm. us into your real world. Yes. And that's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So let's talk about Dharma. I love the concept of Dharma, not as a concept. I don't know what it is, but I really started just delving into it because, you know, so tell us a little bit what Dharma is, you know, what it looks like. Yeah. Please.
Dharma is a Sanskrit word and it means purpose, duty, service. And it's really the reason that we're here on earth. So you've all heard the word karma. Karma is our actions. Karma is our desires, the things that we do. Right. Dharma is the outcome of that. It's the other end of that. So our karma is what we have to go through. And the Dharma is once we've been through all of that stuff, our life experiences, our professional skills, our personal qualities, we start to amalgamate them all together. And we show up and we do exactly what you did in 2020. We say, hey, guys, do you know what? This is me.
Yeah,
I'm here now. I'm at this other side and I'm going to help you as well.
Yeah.
So it's about service. It's about contribution. How can I use my life experiences to help others?
Yeah. And it's not all that, you know, another thing I've learned too, just because you can't come into your perfect purpose, you're not perfect. You're learning, life is like an onion, and you when you think, you know, that you have all this done, something else pops up. Nope, you gotta fix that.
It's
always a change.
There's a new layer, new level, new devil, they say.
Yes.
So it means that as long as we're living a human experience, we have to go through. And it doesn't mean that just because we start to step into our Dharma that our karma finishes. We all have our karma to play all the time. But it's worth knowing that at the other side of my karma is my duty, my purpose, my contribution, my service. I could just be me. I could amalgamate everything that I have, everything I am, and I could show up and I could use my experiences to help other people. How amazing is that? That's incredible.
I love the word amalgamate. I love that.
Yeah.
So amalgamate.
And then to be paid for it as well. You know, there's people watching this now thinking, it's okay for you. You're lucky. I'm not. No. No, we can all do it. Imagine what the world would be like if everyone was living their Dharma. How cool would it be to go into shops and the shopkeeper's there and she's like living her Dharma. That's her Dharma to do that. It would be amazing. Everyone you interact with, they would all be lit up. We'd all be in our higher self, a high vibration. That's my dream for the world.
It is. I'm so I don't want to say blessed, but I'm so fortunate to meet those who are like you. I'm so happy about that because I look forward to always having someone that vibes with me, you know, because I can be a little bit.
I can imagine you vibe with everybody.
I can be a little bit much. And I remember just today I had an early appointment with someone and he was really low key. And I was like, well, I don't really like this. And he was shocked that I was being truthful. I said, what's the matter? He's like, well, no one ever said that they didn't like it. I said, well, I don't. Yeah. I said, I don't feel comfortable. And he was like, wow, I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for someone to tell me. I said, you know, their truth, right? He said, no.
That's right, yeah. So you were not an energetic match. So everything is energy. Like, we're all feeding off each other's
energy.
And
it's okay not to be that. It's okay.
Yeah.
It really is.
And, you know, when we are living in our higher self, our higher purpose, we radiate a higher frequency. And therefore, when we interact with others, we bring them up to that frequency as well.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that in a superior way. I'm talking about energetically. And that's why we each have a responsibility to manage our energy and make sure that we don't leave the house until we've cleansed our energy. Like, you wouldn't leave the house until you've cleaned your body, right? You would shower and go out. It's the same thing. Your energy is just as important as your physical body, if not more.
And that makes sense. You know, that really makes sense. And I, that's why it's, you, what you said is so, it's checking for me, because I often wonder to have, you know, you come to work and you're in a bad mood. So that tells me you did not, check your vibration before you left home. You did not, you know, we have to realize that, that when we're involved as being humans and around other humans, that we have to really check our vibration. You know, we're going to be going through some stuff. I get it. You know, I even have a habit of saying, oh, I can't do that today because I'm not vibrationally there. I can't, you know.
I love
maybe
that.
I have to be in front of someone. I can't do that today.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not
because you're sensitive to it. And if you do put yourself out there in that situation, you might come away depleted. You know, sometimes we come home and we say, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, but actually we didn't do much. It's because we've interacted with so many different people. We've taken on their vibrations. Right. But the good news is we can clear them. And how do we clear them? Meditation. So important. Meditation. Cleansing. Sage. Use water. Showering. Like whatever it is for you. Whatever.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's
some people use crystals. I use essential oils in my practice. So whatever works for you, but start doing something. Start taking some responsibility for your own energy field.
That that makes so much sense. Now let me ask you a question. How do if we're not aware of it? I know some people are not aware. They're just not aware because that's just how they've been living for years. Do we have a space, or should do we have a space for us to say that, for you to say that to someone? You know, how can we address that?
Yeah, there's a difference between someone not being aware and someone not being ready. I've got
there
people who are really ready. They show up, they do want to do it, but they don't have awareness. That's okay. But then there's other people who are not ready. And for them, no, I believe we don't have a place. I used to be someone that was quite pushy, and I used to be like, come on, start the journey. I would want to shake them. And they were just not ready. And I could see the patterns in them that could easily be changed, but they were not wanting to change them.
Or and they have to want that for themselves.
And they have to want it. That's power of autonomy, and we cannot, as coaches and therapists, impose on others. I really believe that it's so important to give people that freedom. If they don't, if they're not ready for the journey, they're not ready.
So how does that, but how does that translate in the workplace? You know, how do you, how does that get adjusted? You know what I mean? You, people who are not ready come to work with an, with a, their energy is so not there or gone or negative or whatever it is. And they, how do you adjust that as a, as a, as a, let's say supervisor, how do you adjust that?
Yeah. I believe that everyone gets to a point where they have a realization, and normally it's as a result of something like a negative thing. So in my case, it was my health scare. And so I do believe everybody will have to come onto the journey eventually. But until then, they kind of go through life, we say plodding along in the UK. I don't know if you use that phrase there, do you? We use it quite a lot, like we're plodding along. And it, it basically means we're just going through the motions.
Through the mundane
work routine and the home routine until we get to a point where we say the three most important words. Now, these three words are a game changer. And they are... enough is enough. Once you say those three words, it's done. You won't go back to your office the next day. You won't go back to your partner who you're unhappy with. You will leave the situation once you get to that point where you put your hands up and you say enough is enough.
And when you experience the same darn thing all the time, like, so you're at a job and you get fired. What do you get fired for? You know, and then it happens again. Then you're like, okay, something's got to give. It's got to be that I'm not, I'm the person involved in this. Why is everybody firing me? And I have clients that come in. and say to me, Edna, it happened again. And,
it happened again.
Well, you're the only thing in the equation. So let's take that apart. Let's talk about that. You know, and I think we need to realize that. And you're saying it, enough is enough.
You have to realize that. And it takes courage to say those words and to step out of victim mode, because it's so comfortable to say, oh, it's because of my boss, it's because of my partner, it's because of X, Y, Z. But it takes a lot of courage to say, do you know what? There's something in me that I need to address.
Absolutely.
And there's no shame in that.
Yeah. And that's good. You know, on the, you know, and like you said before, in your dharma, there is going to be some karma. You know?
We all have to get stuck in traffic jams. We all have to go through the daily life.
Yeah, there's gonna be.
It doesn't mean that you reach the stage of enlightenment and that's it. It means that you've got more wisdom, you've got more awareness, you show up with ease and grace.
Yeah.
And you just basically do what lights you up. That's what Dharma is, in my experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we have to be aware of that. I think that what you really are talking about is just starting to be self-aware. Audience, you have to start to be self-aware that enough is enough. Being the same way year in and year out. And this is our lunar year. Lunar meaning that, you know, it's the wood snake, actually.
Yes.
And think of a snake shedding its skin, getting rid of things that no longer serve you. That's
a great example, actually, because Dharma is shedding your skin. It's about going back to the essence of who you are. Who were you when you were a child? You know, I have clients who say to me, I was playful and funny as a child. And I'm like, you're not playful and funny now. What happened to you? It's because life has thrown.
Yes, it's beat us up. Absolutely.
And when we take those layers away, they've suddenly got this really witty sense of humor, or they've got this playfulness, or they've got, and it's beautiful. It's like watching a flower blossoming, because you're able to see the true personality.
Yes. It's very true. I say that, you know, one time I had someone on the podcast, and no matter what I said, you know, we had a pre-show, so I was trying to get them ready and get them, you know, charged up. And no matter what I said, it was like, I was like, I can't record this. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't know what's going on. And then they kind of broke and told me, I said, okay, you're not ready for this. Because this is not, it's one thing for me, I have to do a great job, you know, and I have to give the audience something. I said, but if you're not in a great mood, I can't help them. I'm giving
And again, you're giving an example of your honesty here. Yeah. You're self-aware, but you're also honest. So can our viewers take that quality of yours and start being honest with themselves?
Yeah.
If you don't like your job, you don't like your job. I'm not saying quit and, you know, be in financial debt. I'm saying shift your thinking slightly to be able to open up new possibilities for yourself.
Yes.
Because in my experience, as soon as you shift your thought process, the universe comes and makes everything else happen.
So
if you set an intention and say, right, this is going to be the year I'm going to be in a job that I love. I'm going to set up a business that I love doing. I'm going to do whatever it is. In my experience, the universe will help you to make it happen.
Absolutely. Are you on Instagram at all? What's your hashtag?
Journey with Nikita.
Okay. So, audience, you know how to get her on Instagram. That's a good spot to get you on. I just wanted to say that. Yeah. Throw that in.
Yeah.
So what else? What was one thing that you can give to our audience as we exit this interview? What is one great thing that we didn't hear today?
I think there's so many, but one thing that has really helped me is the power of pause. You know, we have such busy lives, as I said, and many of us have very overactive minds. Our thoughts are racing 100 miles an hour, if not more. The power of pause is the ability to just stop and actually just physically stand still, or just sit still and not move and not do anything. And it's not just about not moving the body, but it's about trying to bring your mind into that state of presence. Now, we might not be able to do that for more than 30 seconds or a minute, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Even that, you know, that's going to help you. Perhaps once an hour, once every couple of hours, when you're at work, in your break, take time out. Don't just scroll your phone and keep your mind active and engaged. Actually experience being present mm-hmm. and having that pause.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, pause is so very important. It's not just mm-hmm. on the videos.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's for you. Well, yes. Audience, we want to thank you for hanging out today, for all those who showed up live with us. And I didn't see any questions. But if you do have some questions, I want you to leave them in the bottom of the comment box. And I'm very sure that Nikita will be able to answer them. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Nikita, for being my exceptional guest.
Oh.
And we're signing off right now. Bye for now, guys.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Eden Cher.
And I'm Brock Charlelli.
We played best friends on The Middle.
And became best friends in real life.
We're here to rewatch The Middle with all of you.
Each week, we'll recap an episode with behind-the-scenes stories, guest interviews, and what we think now, many years later.
There's a lot to dive into, so let's get to middling.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.